Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Scott and Paul's Rambling Podcast.
Welcome to Scott and Paul's Rambling Podcast.
Hello.
This will be a slightly abbreviated version of the show this week because
Scott slept in.
Yes, I slept in.
You dick.
Well, it's not my fault. Well, we would have a bit more time if somebody didn't have places to be, Paul.
Oh, excuse me for being a parent, Scott.
I know, I'm just trying to pass the
blame. Have a seat.
I'm just trying to pass the blame on you.
Even whilst I'm being a nice horse and getting you a fucking seat.
Yeah. Where are we exactly, Paul? Would you like to tell the people where we're...
We're in my mother's home.
Yes, we're in your mother's...
Because I have to look after her dog.
What kind of dog?
What?
What kind of dog is it?
My mother's dog. That's what kind of dog it is.
Excuse me for making fucking conversation. How dare I do that on a conversational podcast?
No, how could you? God.
On a conversational podcast, me trying to make conversation. What a bastard I am.
I have a teeny little bit of a cigarette left. Mm-hmm. And a lighter that, quite frankly, is shit. I'd be just as well not having a fucking lighter.
As well trying to rub two stones together. Trying to make fire.
Quickly, I will tell you, do you know what I've discovered this week?
What have you discovered
this week? Well, I don't know if it's a done thing to mention another person's programme. You do it a lot with your...
Because I'm involved. If you're going to mention it in a positive way, I don't think it should be a...
Oh, yeah, totally positive. Totally positive. I've been watching this guy on YouTube. Hip Hop Head, I believe his name is. He's a very interestingly cool guy. He's very positive and excitable. He's a hip hop guy, but he reviews metal. All
right.
And he's very into it, and he gets so excited by good metal. He's such a nice guy.
Cool.
He's one of those guys, you know, very likable type. You know, he basically looks like a student.
Yeah.
But he just sits there and he goes like, "Oh, this is so good," and you're like, "Yeah, you love metal like I do, man, yay."
Well, that's nice.
He puts you in a happy frame of mind, as you can probably tell, because I've spent most of the last 20 minutes watching him reviewing all kinds of metal videos and
But this episode will probably be mostly taken up by Fraser, because that's the important thing.
Yeah.
But I have a few things I want to talk about. First off,
Fraser doesn't sleep in, does he?
I did watch a clip the other day where Niles had the gun and it accidentally went off and Fraser comes in and goes, "Oh, Fraser, just getting up? Getting up! A gun just went off in my home!" That's not the episode we're doing, but it just happened to be the clip that I watched the other day.
I know that's not what episode we're doing.
What?
I know that's not what episode we're doing.
I'm telling the people that's not the episode we're doing. Not talking to you, I'm doing it for them.
Look, I have a sandwich.
Good for you. First of all, we were had last week, Paul.
Why?
Well, us and a lot of people. No, I was telling you about the Instagram Q&A that Neville did.
Yeah.
Well, Neville took to his Twitter account and says, "I don't have Instagram." Essentially, whoever that fucker was.
He's a kick in his balls.
Aye.
Trying
to pass himself off as Neville. He just went, I do not have Instagram. Beware of imposters.
Beware of Neville's evil twin.
Yeah. Or Pac, as he's now known, or as he's known on Twitter, Bastard Pac. He just goes across with a really sour bastard. Probably mostly real, but he's playing it up a bit more for his heel persona.
Yeah.
You know, little column A, little column B, as they say. And I'm very excited because not only in May next year am I going to see The Undertaker in a live Q&A, a rare out of character interview. But I'm also on January 12th, I'm going to see NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool.
That's cool. By the way, when you go to see The Undertaker, will you get a meet and greet with him?
Unfortunately, no. As I mentioned before.
Oh, yeah, the ticket price is phenomenal.
We're extortionate, yes.
That's a shame, because I could have threw you a couple of my videos and said, "Sign those." Say to my best friend, Scottish friend. Yay.
No. Well, unfortunately, that will not be happy, but yeah, NXT UK is doing the first ever version of a takeover, and if it's anything like the regular NXT takeovers, it should be phenomenal. And from what I've heard, rumblings of people who have been at the tapings, the rumour main event is to be Joe Coffey challenging Pete Dunne for his UK Championship. And, well, Joe Coffey is a fellow Scotsman. I do not feel the urge to root for him just because he's Scottish, because I don't particularly like Joe Coffey. Nothing against him personally, unlike my brother who hates him because he's a Celtic supporter. I just don't really find him the most entertaining wrestler. Like,
that's justified, you know.
Well, to you guys, I don't really give a shit about football, but he's technically sound, but I don't think he's nearly as good as he or some other people out there have made him out to be.
Technically sound, but also technically green. You.
Yeah, doesn't help, he comes out in green and white trunks. That's a reason why Sunday at Fair and Loathing, I'll be rooting for his brother Mark.
Does he come in blue?
No. Maybe he should, but you know.
You should, and then you should beat him. All the time.
I'm down, but don't bring football into this.
No, that's a testy subject for me.
Yeah, that's a boring one for me.
Yes, testy one for me, boring one for you.
You know, you can tell why UK have chosen to use Blackpool for the first year, because they're going to go back to the same venue that they did the first UK title tournament in, and it's got all the history and where it all began and that. Other than that, if it wasn't in there, I would not be going to Blackpool if it wasn't for the fact that NXT was going there, because I've been to Blackpool before in August and the weather was shit. This is in January.
I've been to Blackpool a few times.
Mm-hmm.
It's dull.
Yes.
Terribly dull.
I was talking with a wee one from ACSR who were going in a wee group chat we had, and like, I went, yay, an actual reason to go to Blackpool other than we can't afford a real holiday.
Yeah, let's go to Blackpool. Oh, what can we do there? Well, there's a roller coaster.
Sarah went, well, Madame Tussauds and Pleasure Beach are a draw. I went, Pleasure Beach is not a draw in fucking January, Sarah.
Pleasure Beach has no pleasure.
Neither do fucking you, apparently.
People go to Blackpool to die.
Or people who live in Blackpool are there because they can't get out, unlike William Regal.
It's like Royston Vasey in the League of Gentlemen.
I'll take your word for that one. I'm not really up on my League of Gentlemen knowledge.
It should be. It's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very funny.
Yeah, so
you watch it and you go, ha.
Yeah, so I'm very excited to be there. I almost thought I wasn't going to get tickets because I had tickets. Then I lost them, then I kept refreshing, then I got tickets again.
Oh, and you got them and you're like, yay!
Then I realised, I had to excuse myself just before my uni class started, so I could go and go and order them. And then I realised, and finally I'll be like, yay, I got them. Then I realised, shit, I've been away for 15 minutes. So better get back to class.
Yeah. Guess what's in my fridge?
Well, I wouldn't know, I'm not in your house.
Well, there's a 2-litre bottle of something in my fridge.
Would it be Original Iron Brew by any chance, Paul?
Yeah.
Bastard.
Yeah.
I'm mainly bastard in that we're not in your house right now.
Yeah. You think I'm a bastard because I have some and you don't.
That's one of the many list of reasons I think you're a bastard.
all very legit reasons, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But there's so much... See, that's the annoying thing. You think I'm a bastard, but unfortunately for you, there's a few reasons why you think I'm not one, so you can't really hate me.
Alright, good, I just...
You just can't. You want to, but you can't. I want to too sometimes, but I just can't. I'm too lovable.
We all have a very limited time here, and I will sadly look back on my time on this earth and suddenly realise I wasted an hour of my life this week watching Starrcade. I mean, the WWE footage from the live event Starrcade, the WWE put on the network... It's so fucking boring.
Well, you have 4 minutes to talk about it until we're on to the proper subject.
I don't want to talk about all the matches that they had, because they put 3 matches on. They were pretty meh. They didn't even put the 2 best things that happened at Starrcade on. They didn't put the street fight between Ambrose and Rollins on it, and Bray Wyatt returned at Starrcade because it was maybe Strowman v Corbin, and Corbin threw out an open chance because he knew Strowman wouldn't be there,
mm-hmm.
and Bray Wyatt answered it, mm-hmm. and now rumour has it that Wyatt will take Strowman's place at TLC, but nothing but nothing was ever mentioned about it on Raw.
Yeah.
And Raw was a very bad show this week.
I
only watched an hour of it, I haven't watched anything else from it.
I read the reviews.
Apparently, the crowd, this is the difference between the two crowds, the crowd after Raw went off the air chatting, we want refunds and bullshit, where SmackDown was so good, probably by comparison, better than Raw. The people start between that finish and mixed match challenge in 205 Live, or actually 205 Live before, but between SmackDown going off air and mixed match challenge starting, people were chanting, "Thank you, SmackDown."
Yes.
And oh, and apparently.
And yet, Raw is still apparently the flagship show.
Yeah, remember when Raw couldn't SmackDown Survivor Series? Seems like so long ago.
Yeah.
But, apparently, there'll be.
They didn't clean sweep them.
Shh, keep it. Don't talk too loud. Do you want to get sued?
No.
It's like Simpsons. He's got the shining. Me and the shining. Shh. Do you want to get sued? But they did announce on SmackDown that Becky Lynch will defend her title against Charlotte and Asuka in a triple threat TLC match.
I heard that. That's going to be cool.
That'll be cool.
Asuka won't win, though.
No, sorry. She did. She won
didn't
about,
win
anything. She got added to the match by winner of Battle Royal, and she won it quite good because she got Sonya Deville, her and Sonya Deville on the apron, and Deville ran at her. Asuka popped up in the air and kneed her in the face, and she went flying off.
Ah, cool. But no, Asuka never wins nothing now.
Well, she wins. Well, she won the Rumble. She knows that.
What does that matter when there's no payoff? You know, usually when someone wins a Rumble, they win a title. Usually,
not always.
But you'd think maybe if she's the hottest fucking thing on NXT, or she was, and then she comes in, she wins the Women's Rumble, you'd think, like, maybe think about maybe putting a belt on her. You know? Maybe,
you'd think, but you'd no. Think.
Or maybe, like, I mean, they have a men's title and a women's title, why not have a women's IC title?
Who knows, Phil? Well, these are questions we will not answer in there a lot of time.
That is definitely a possibility.
It is possible.
There should be a secondary title for the women's.
But they also should. There are far, far too many championships.
I agree with what Brian says a lot of the time.
What?
Brian technically refuses to recognise any title, any major title in the WWE, because he believes there should be one title and one title only.
It's a weird, it's an interesting way of thinking that.
Well, he believes that if the WWE is going to have a champion, there should be a champion. You know? I mean, call it what you will, have one title, and whatever brand or whatever has the supremacy at the time, has the supremacy. You could have big title matches at pay-per-views, blah, 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 but Brian believes there should be one world heavyweight champion. Or WWE champion.
Oh,
there should be one.
We could talk about it for another time, but last game, somebody who cost her very greatly and me greatly this year, James Ellsworth, has been in the news very recently. For being a very, very dirty bastard.
Was he playing with himself?
No, not really. But he bit a female fan. So he asked her, "How old are you?" And she told her, she told him, like, now bearing in mind, she told him
she was.
That she was, like, I think it was reported to be 16, but now she's convinced it's 15.
She was too young for fooling about with him.
Yeah. And then her family came out and said, "These dirty pictures he's been sending me." So there's Ellsworth, the married man with two children, may I add. Has been sending pictures to people he should not be sending
Dirty,
them.
Dirty, chinless little freak.
Yes. Apparently, some female wrestler whose name's been hidden for her own sake has come in and said, apparently, this isn't the first time he's done it. So, like.
Some female wrestler.
No, I don't know, it's an indie wrestler, apparently, who has said this isn't the first time he sent pictures to somebody he shouldn't be.
Dirty, chinless freak. Oh, well, that's a good thing, because if he gets himself in trouble, we won't have to put up with him anymore.
I know.
He won't be on TV.
I mean, he was the hottest thing for a while.
No. I choose to forget that.
As I say, not even people will know.
Yeah. He's even more forgettable than that idiot that turned up at Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Sorry, I feel like, what?
You know.
Oh, yeah, him. That prick.
Those two are both soft. I think is the old saying that the bearded one used to use.
Yes.
The bearded prick and the chinless wonder.
See, I'm so tempted to make a very disgusting joke about the soft to refer to the Ellsworth situation, but I'm not gonna.
People have just eaten, man. Jesus.
Well, you have just eaten. We don't know about the people listening. We don't know what time they're listening to.
I'm people. I've just eaten.
You're not people, you're a bastard. We've established that you're a bastard.
Yeah, but I might be a bastard, but I'm still a people's.
Well, we're gonna go into Frasier, and then I have something to say at the end, but we're going to concentrate on Frasier now. Season 2, Episode 3, Matchmaker. That's partly where I usually spend, that's partly the reason I'm late, is I remember I need to watch Frasier, because I always try to watch Frasier right before I leave,
yeah.
So it's fresher in my mind. Now, we open in the home, and it's late at night and a fire alarm is going off, and Frasier's running a bit like a madman, his dad running a bit looking for Eddie.
Yeah.
He's like, Dad, where are you? And Daphne comes in like, false alarm, it's the one in my room. Apparently Eddie was in her room too. What happened? I don't know. I'll see you first.
Quite sadly.
And the alarm just went off for no reason, and then Eddie comes in.
With the pack of smokes in his mouth, and Eddie, you've been smoking in Daphne's bedroom. Bad dog.
Daphne apologises, but she's feeling, whenever she's feeling stressed, she feels a cigarette, calms her down, she goes, ah, well, it's a false alarm. And Martin goes, false alarm, it'll take me an hour before my heart calms down. And Frasier doesn't want to talk about Daphne's problems, but he feels like he has to,
yeah,
both as a friend and as a psychiatrist.
Yeah, so I'll do this in the most abbreviated sense. He goes into it and tries to reassure her, and he's like, he goes, take an example from my life. I'm single, divorced, living with my father.
And he just takes
the cigarette, off her.
Because he goes through who he's been with, which includes Diane, Boo.
Yeah.
And then mentions how that ended, and then how that ended with Lilith, and then suddenly realises, yeah, I'm not the best character witness to.
Yeah, like, yeah, I suck too. Yeah, give me a cigarette.
And then he's in Catherine Wolfe looking very dejected and very knackered, and where Roz informs him, you missed your meeting with the station manager.
Yeah, the new station manager.
But also he was so knackered that he slept through and forgot all about it. And he said, I was comparing, me and Daphne were comparing who had the worst life for their conversation. I think I won that. And he's talking about, and she just played, this is very nice. So he goes, well, I know what's wrong with you, but what's wrong with Daphne? And he explains to her that she's turned to a finding a man.
And then she's like, well.
She's got the big one, oh, we'd hate to break up a collection. So Gunther, he's a runway model. Oh, a German narcissist, what a nice combo. And then Niall sits down, and suddenly when he realises I was looking for something for Daphne, he's immediate,
yeah.
Like, shifting, like, what?
Spin? Gunther? Why did you just throw him over the wall of the prison yard?
These are men I've dated. Where do you think I got the imagery? As soon as they're trying to say, like, these are not the kind of men, that, these may be the men that she would go to, but not the men that Daphne might go for. But, oh, what you're saying is the guys I've dated aren't good enough for Miss Daphne. No, I'm trying not to say that.
You're making it very difficult.
Yeah, she storms out, and then also they're back in the booth, and she's still very mad too. So keep your food out of my side of the booth. In fact, stay on my side.
You're still mad at me, aren't you?
It's that keen sense and keen intellect that makes you so fond of the ladies. And then Frasier meets the new station manager, Tom
Durant.
Yes. I feel like I know that guy, but I couldn't be bothered well to look up.
Doesn't he have nice hair?
Very lovely hair, yes. Better than fucking Frasier's at the moment.
Yes.
But then Frasier's like, sorry, I slipped right through, and he goes, so did I, and I was there.
Yeah, we seem friendly at first, but yeah. when everyone, even people watching the episode,
yeah,
Roz, people on the moon could tell that Tom was flirting with them.
Yeah, right. Especially after, especially as soon as Frasier mentions that he's unattached, you can immediately tell that from his response. He's like, no, this guy's definitely coming.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm gonna hit on him.
Yeah. And so he's talking about, and then he sees, like, he talks about the English, and he has a thing for eccentric, and like, and Frasier immediately, and his, then he's completely blind to it. He's like, this guy's perfect for Daphne.
Like, he's thinking, great, I can introduce this guy to Daphne, and Tom's thinking, yeah, I like him.
Yeah. And so Frasier goes back to do a show, and while he's talking to some caller, he goes in the booth and he's talking to Roz, and he's saying, like, why does it always get around that I'm gay every time I go to a new job?
Yeah.
And then Roz is talking to him, and she goes to tell him that he's not gay, and then, but Frasier looks at him talking.
No, he's like, look, Frasier's just inviting me to his place. Does he like red or white wine?
Yeah.
And she was going to say, well, look, Tom,
what you should know is he's no, and then Frasier miscommunicates then to him for her flirting with him.
Puts the sign up saying, hands off, he's taken. And he loves Chardonnay. Yeah.
Chardonnay. But you can tell she's still annoyed, and then that didn't help. that didn't help. She's like, oh, well, fuck you.
Yeah, I'll show you.
What I'm annoyed at is we didn't get a scene of Fraser coming into work the next day, after the night after he finds out everything. And
yeah, it'd be nice to see that in the credits.
I get him to see Rod like laugh at him or something like that. Yeah.
You know, I always found that a little funny that there was no comedy made, like even little in jokes just after that episode. Because I think after that episode, you see Tom once.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, station manager are very. Like, the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher at Hogwarts, they fucking change every fucking film.
Oh, who was the longest serving station manager? It was Kenny.
Kenny.
Yeah.
I think they just couldn't be asked hiring another actor for the station manager every now and then.
You had Kenny, and the second longest one before Kenny was Kate.
Oh, no.
You really didn't like Kate Costas.
Oh, no. We still got her to go to.
Yeah.
She's around for far, far too long. She cannot act.
I commented on the Fraser fan group today because they were mentioning that awful season, fucking that Greek episode. You know, the one with Aunt Zora.
Oh yeah.
And the brother that never was and then was.
Yeah.
And the Nikos, and apparently Fraser has Greek family.
The point
was, like, they were saying, quick answer, like or dislike, and I gave a very long answer as to why I disliked. Most viciously.
Oh, I mean, the heat. I
got 3 likes for that comment.
When I watched back season 3, I didn't remember realize the first time how bad of an actress she was, and it took me 2 episodes to remember it, and then I realized, and I looked up how long she's around for, and I went, oh god, I've got more of this to put up with.
She's up for most of the season.
Yep. Oh god, Fraser, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
Both the show and the man.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got far too off track, but Daphne's not very keen that Fraser's set her up. Without consulting. Like, does he ask me? No.
Oh.
Anyway, and she's done.
He's like, look, dress nice. Wear that strapless bra you've got. Do you have any idea how much pain and why a bra causes? Well, thanks to my fraternity days, yes.
Before he does that, he goes, this is no pressure. This is just a colleague coming over for dinner. Is that what you're wearing? It's a shame Tom wasn't there, because from that whole sequence before he went through it, you can see why Tom thought he might be gay. Just the way he's talking and commenting on our dress sense and all that.
Is that what you're wearing?
And then Tom comes in, and then he's talking to him, and he goes, oh, you know. And then when he finds out he loves his dad, he's like, do I have to put a tie on for this joker? Oh, sorry. Hi.
Can I just say one thing? Throughout this whole
episode,
the scene coming up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you find Tom just the slightest wee bit cringy?
A little bit.
It's hard to tell whether he's cringy or just a bit sleazy.
I think it's just a bit cringy.
Yeah, he's just a little cringy. You're like, God, man, your lines are terrible.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he can only do what he's been given by the writers.
Very true. Well, apparently that episode won an award, though.
Oh. Yeah.
I think it was a GLAAD award or something, you know, portraying a gay character in a non-stereotypical way.
Yeah.
You know.
But I have a feeling that the reason he didn't appear much after this is because really they don't think, what really more can you do with Tom after this? Like, main thing is, the new boss, he turns out he's gay and Fraser didn't know, and you've done the most you can do with this character other than.
I suppose if we'd have kept it going, it would have just fell into random stereotypes.
Yeah. Because all he would have done is keep me what Kay does, because Kay just would have just popped up every now and then, and they were probably just made no reference to the episode.
We didn't need another Gil.
No, there's not.
Gil would have been offended. That was his place.
Yeah. But anyway, and then he goes, Tom goes, you love your dad? Yeah, it's not a problem. Unless when I bring my dates home, he tries to steal them. So now he thinks Martin's gay as well.
Yeah, he thinks Martin's gay.
And then Daphne gets a look at him, she takes his coat, and she turns her.
She turns out in Fraser and mouse, she's like, oh god, he's hot.
And she's like, she's not so annoyed now that she's sitting. And she goes in the kitchen and she goes, like, he's worth every wire digging into my ribcage. And then Fraser, Martin invites him to a baseball game, he goes, it'll probably just be me and you. And he goes, oh, Fraser warned me about
you.
And then Niles comes over to return a book And I think, like, it's just so coincidental that he happens to show up now.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally. And then he comes over and makes himself a sort of third wheel.
Yeah, or fifth wheel.
Yeah, fifth wheel. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I guess you don't want me around. Hi there. And Daphne's trying to... She's meaning this for Tom. She goes, I could use a big, strong pair of hands.
You have to ask me twice. He sort of butt nudges Tom on the road.
I think you can tell what I mean by the whole cringeworthy thing. The story, the butt of the joke that he tells at the end by the Queen.
Yeah.
I believe that's what he's talking about.
But,
because he was working with the BBC, as he said before.
Yeah. But you see Niles off through the dinner being mildly rude to Tom.
Yeah.
A little awkward.
And,
so
and Tom picks up on that.
Yeah, clearly. Tom picks up on it, and Niles goes to clean up the dishes, and Tom goes in and goes, Niles, have I offended you in some way? And he's like, no. Smash. Clatter. He's like, I felt that you had a problem with me dating Fraser.
Well, you must know. And he just pauses like he was going to say something about Daphne. He's like, wait, what?
What? Do you have a problem with me dating your brother? And he just goes, he stifles a giggle. He's like, no.
Do you think that was intended? Do you think that's intended, or do you think that was just David Hyde Pierce just trying not to laugh?
I think it was a little both. Yeah, because he just kind of goes like, puts his finger on his lip. He's like, no, it's fine. You go to it.
And then Peter comes and goes, now, Tom did not come to talk to you. He's the other people got his eye on. Something like that. And then he leaves, and then Martin comes in. This is my favourite bit. Martin comes in.
You do it. I'll deal with Niles.
Martin comes in and goes, well, that town guy is great. I think Daphne will like him.
And he's like, he's stifling a laugh even more. He's like, no.
And then this is the best bit. Daphne's like talking with Fraser and Tom on the balcony. He's like, I don't know the last time I've laughed so hard. Now I can hear this.
Martin
going,
and Niles pissing
or something. Because obviously Niles is just total like, what's happened?
Yeah. So...
And then
Niles is going to leave. He's like, lovely to meet you, Tom. I'm going to go home to my Maris. And then he's like, Fraser, can I have a brief word with you? He's like, it seems someone else has caught Tom's eye. Damn that Roz! No?
Not Roz. You.
You.
The best part of this scene is he goes, Tom, thank you. He seems to be under that prison.
It's the way he delivers it. Well, he seems to be on the lead impression.
All we did was talk about, say, a few times.
Iron, theater, and
men's fashion. Oh,
oh
God.
Oh, God.
Goes, I'll call you tomorrow, but obviously not too early.
I liked a bit, like, just a little before he told me. He's like, Dad wanted to tell you, but I won the coin toss.
And then, as soon as he goes back in, it becomes a bit awkward, because Tom's just...
The funniest bit, well, yeah. Daphne's walking in, and Tom was like, you didn't know I was gay, she just throws the bra and walks back out again.
I feel really bad for Daphne in this episode.
Yeah, it sucks.
I'm saying that I feel bad for me, but for Tom, for this misunderstanding, but I think I feel bad more so for Daphne.
Yeah. Tom, in fairness, takes it in his stride, you know.
Like most people, like, especially ladies, would probably be offended and be shooting and bawling about it, but he takes it.
I just love Fraser being all awkward. He goes, no, I seem like a prospect for you. And he's like, Fraser, I'll learn to love again.
Does this mean your dad's not gay either?
No. But Niles, come on.
No.
You mean that Maris is a woman?
Sure, he's still out on that one.
well, you'll explain to Daphne for the rest of my life.
This reminds me of a bit, I believe, when Patrick Stewart comes in towards the end of the show's run, and he thinks Fraser's gay, and he's interested in Niles, and he goes, this is my wife, Daphne. You're kidding.
No, he's like, oh, was it Daphne, my wife? No. We're expecting. Can't say I was.
Oh, brilliant.
Patrick Stewart was a legend in that episode.
Yeah, no, he's perfect fit for that part.
Oh, Fraser, can you feel it? Oh, yes, there it is.
But anyway, that's the way the credits start to roll, and Fraser and Daphne are right back where they were at the start.
Yeah, sulking and smoking fags until Fraser looks at the health warnings on the side of the packet and they're like, oh, no, stop.
What I would have loved if at the end, either having the thing with Roz, as I said earlier, or having him doing something for Daphne and then to it, like he's bought her some overly expensive to make up for the fact that he's just
much
kind of humiliated.
With the earrings.
Yes. But yes, what would you say your rating is for this one,
Paul? Very, very high. Thumbs up for that episode.
It's definitely a thumbs up, because like most shows, especially like this episode of Frasier, have this kind of misunderstanding, but the way this one is written and
the message and the way the whole subject, the homosexuality, is handled and done very well. Mm-hmm. And it also manages to be really fucking funny too.
And
you know?
Would you say it's deserving of that award it won?
Oh, definitely. I think it did. I'd need to go back and do my research, but I'm pretty sure it won some kind of GLAAD award.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, before we go, to say I have a big weekend, I'll be probably talking a bit next week when I come up.
Awesome.
Tonight, Wrestling Experience Scotland is hosting a show at the Asylum, the Glasgow Forest Asylum, the training school, but where it's called The Secret Show, where none of the actual matches have been announced. The entire card is kept secret.
Well, that'll be really cool.
They've like teased, like hints like, oh, a former champion will fight another holder of that same title, or a former tag champ from this promotion will be there.
Gilbert.
wouldn't be surprised, I'd probably fought for that.
Gilbert. Would you have your sparklers out?
No. Well, it wouldn't be somebody asked, is there going to be merch available at the show? And I went, and Lionheart responded, well, if there was merch available, it wouldn't be a fucking secret, would it?
It's a secret, but you can buy this person's merch here.
Yeah. ICW is holding a show at the garage called France 99, because they had a show last year for the hydro called France 98.
Yeah.
And also it's a continuation of that, and the logo's kind of the style of a FIFA logo.
Oh, right.
And then I'll say on the Sunday at the Hydro, it's Fear and Loathing, the biggest show of the year. And I'd say, I may or may not have already been in the Secret Show by the time this goes up, depending on how I edit it. But I have a feeling Kenny Williams will be at the Secret Show, because he was cutting a promo for his match at the Hydro.
That should be pretty good.
And the background, I can tell that the background looks very suspiciously like the that purple wall in the background looks suspiciously like the same purple wall in the Asylum.
Right.
And I've been to one of the shows before, so I think, like, I'm pretty sure he's cutting that in the Asylum.
I have something I'm actually doing this weekend, which will be interesting.
Alright.
Well, myself and Brian are now celebrating, belatedly, because we should have done it last week, celebrating our third anniversary as a couple.
Thanks. Good for you, Scott. Sorry, I'm trying to hold the phone and do the...
Like, that's perfectly acceptable.
Because it sounded like a very weak round of applause from the way I was doing
it. But no, that is us celebrating 3 years now.
And good for you.
Thank you. It's appreciated.
I'm sure you'll...
Drink.
Yes. For some reason, the words were out there, I just couldn't grab them.
Yes. Well, in my fridge,
as you mentioned,
beverage-wise, I have not only the good Iron Brew...
The thing that makes you a bastard.
Yes. I have a bottle of Jack Daniels, a bottle of El Dorado, a half bottle of El Dorado, and 4 cans of Lager.
So you're perfectly well-stocked for the weekend.
I don't know what Brian's bringing for himself. But I'm sure he'll bring something, because I'll be drinking all of that.
I did that once,
you know.
What?
Sat and I drank a whole bottle of Jack Daniels when I was a lot younger. Didn't pour it into a glass, though. Just cracked the lid open and drank it. And then I was very, very, very sick.
Yeah, like...
Very sick.
10 minutes before we have to wrap up, so...
No, 10-minute wrap-up warning.
But I have a quick story I forgot to tell last week, and then I'm going to quickly give my predictions for Fear and Loathing.
Go on.
At Dave's the other night. Dave, like I said, doesn't have to learn to be a better host. This is why.
Hi, Dave.
Dave, don't come out well on this. Please turn off now. But Dave, not only did my brother bring up a shitload of sides to go with the pizzas that we ordered, then midway through the show, we realised not a lot of sides have been cooked yet. And I'm like, Dave, why is this? Like, oh, I went, well, it's not a lot. And I think Dave said, like, oh, there's not a lot in there. And like, my brother went, I know for a fact that there's stuff in there because I fucking broke them. Get them fucking up. And then everybody started chatting, like, pigs in blanket.
Yeah.
Everyone chanting, pigs in blanket. Or like, chicken strips or whatever. Like, and then when he started putting them on, people started chanting, thank you, Hawkney. And Dave did not appreciate it. And Dave had to be told, like, you don't kick people out as soon as the thing's done. Give them about an hour, get them order their taxis.
Yeah, get people leaving time.
Yeah. And people were given an hour and that to... Oh, and then in that hour, some people left. A group of us, most of us quite drunk at this point, all huddled around and quite loudly started singing, I Want It That Way. I'm not embarrassed about that. That was a fucking belter of a song.
Don't be.
And it was a good time. It was good rabbit.
I mean, last weekend I was drunk off my ass and sang RuPaul's Realness. So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. But, I think it's about an hour since the show had ended, and we were leaving. And this is probably hosting 101.
Yeah.
But if you're going to say goodbye to your guests, don't be brushing your teeth while you're doing it. Looks like Dave disappeared at one point. We were about to go downstairs to catch for a taxi. He comes back out to say bye. The fucker's brushing his teeth.
What a knob. Sorry, Dave, but that's bad host etiquette.
And then he pretty much almost essentially pretty much kicked Kwaku out as soon as we left. Like Kwaku had already ordered his taxi, but essentially made him wait downstairs for
you. That's poor, man.
It's poor. Shame on you, Dave.
I could teach him a thing or two about hosting. I am a good host.
Yeah.
I think.
So, I'm going to quickly run through the card of if you're in Lothian, it should be a good one.
Be very quick, because I have like 3 minutes.
Should be good. I have Lionheart to win the world title from Jackie Polo. I have Mark to retain his EOG title over his brother Joe. I have the King's Cats to become number one contenders in the TLC. I have Iron Echo to beat Kenny Williams. I have James Storm to now beat Greedo now that Jeff Jarrett's been added as a special guest referee, so I'm feeling there's a swerve coming. Kayla Ray beat Viper in the Queen of Insanity match. Alfie will take the tie tips from the Kinky Party. There's another match I'm thinking of. I don't know it.
It's a secret one.
Sorry. Anyway. Sorry, it was Joe Hendry. What blast? That was the match.
Good.
And Joe Hendry. And now, to play us out, it's my musical choice this week. Sorry if I feel a bit rushed, but we'll have a more in-depth discussion next week, I have a feeling.
Yes, we will.
And as I told you, I played Lionheart's theme song a few weeks back.
Uh-huh.
And I was feeling, in the sake of balance...
Yes?
For the sake of balance, we should have Jackie Polo's theme song to play.
Cool, let's do that.
But also say, it's even more deserved because I did a 3-part article series about the breaking down the feud of... Jackie Polo and Lionheart for wrestling blogs, and the third part went up last night, and I went on Twitter to see the tweet of the article beat going up, and I seen who happened to retweet it, but Jackie Polo himself.
Cool.
Which I was very happy to see. So yes, very well deserved. This is just as Jackie Polo's theme song, who sadly I have a feeling will lose the world title to Lionheart at. But I'll probably be cheering for both of them anyway, and it'll be a good night. So, see you there, everybody.
See you.
Bye bye.